will call the meeting to order. The agenda, as you're signing, you can look. Does anyone have anything, additions or corrections to the agenda? I think we can take out number four, old business attorney, because that's been taken care of. Does anyone have anything else they'd like to add?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda with the attorney line taken out.
Okay.
Second.
All those in favor to approve the agenda with the attorney line under old business, stricken out.
Crossed out.
Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Okay, vouchers. Can I have a motion to approve the signed vouchers?
I so move that we approve the vouchers, signed vouchers.
I can second it.
All approve the reviewed signed vouchers. Say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Okay. Minutes from the last meeting. I did not have anything additional to add or change.
I read through them and we just made minor changes. So. Anybody else?
I would make a motion to approve the minutes.
I second it.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, motion passes. Treasurer's report.
So as of the end of April, ambulance revenues are at 72% of budget, and we're at 84% of the fiscal year. So we're about 12% below our forecast revenue point. And all other revenues, including taxes, interest, and motor vehicle fees, are above budget. So we're about 120% of budget. Our board expenses we're going to talk about tonight are $16,000 over budget, and I think we've lumped a lot into that category. Overall, our expenses are at 79% of budget, so we're a little bit below what our predicted expenditures are. We have $27,766 in checking and $857,418 in the money market. And as of 4 o'clock today, $100,000 was transferred from money market to checking, as we approved in the minutes of our last meeting. We have just over $1 million in combined total of CDs at First Northern Bank and American National Bank. So total cash and investments, $1,886,754.80, of which $417,000 is dedicated for the reserve fund for the new building project, and $250,000 has been budgeted for a new ambulance in the proposal for 23-24. The KC budget is at 81.92% of forecast expenditures, slightly under budget, with some over budget items under education, medical supplies, and vehicle repair. But overall, within almost exactly what the budget was predicting. So on the April statement, that's all I have for the treasurer's report.
Wendy had to put that money from money market into checking. Are we dipping into that every month? Are we putting that money back in the money market? Or is once that money's pulled from the money market, we use it and it doesn't go
back? That money will be used for bills.
Okay, so we have to
not go back.
We're dipping into our savings every month. By $100,000,
yes.
Every month.
Well, it just recently happened. That
sure.
Day.
Okay. Well, and the audit check came out this month for $25,000, which was big. But okay. But still, a significant amount we're draining from savings every month. Okay. When you put money in, like when we get a mill levy and things like that, is it going into checking or is it going into savings?
Typically, I put it into the check-in account
okay.
so that there is money there to cover the checks.
Okay.
But the electric transfer funds
uh-huh.
always go into the money market account.
Okay.
And so that's where most of the funds are actually deposited,
okay.
is into the money market account. And so that's why you have to end up transferring money over to the checking, because most of the deposits...
So with that...
The quick meds all go into the money market account.
Okay. So then with that mill levy that we get every month, that plus an additional 100 had to be used, right?
Well, not necessarily, because
okay.
I think the cash flow just had to be there.
Okay.
So the deposits are being made into the money market account, but the checks are being written out of a different account, and
okay.
so you're not really dipping into your savings necessarily. You just need to transfer the money into the right account to
okay.
cover the checks.
Okay, I gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Does anyone have anything to say about the treasurer's report? No.
No, I think I'll make a motion to approve the treasurer's
okay.
report.
Second?
Second.
All in favor to approve the treasurer's report, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion passes. Buffalo EMS director's report.
Please, we had 48 calls total in April. 11 bills to transfer, two to billing, three to Casper, and six to the airport. We had one nurse transfer to Casper, and we had two out-of-county transfers to Casper as well. And there were 25 in-town, 23 out-of-town, 37 residents, 11 non-residents, six patient refusals, two standbys, three DOAs, totally 48 calls. Medicare, 19 paid from Medicare, 3 from Medicaid, 5 from insurance, 4 for self-pay, 3 from the VA. And for fairly mundane for volume this month, I will report that MS-73 has serviced today and has two new tires. And that repair on the lift system of 106 has been completed about 2 weeks ago. And our students in the EMT class did their psychomotors on Sunday, yesterday. So they'll be getting set up to take the NREMT.
Perfect.
And that's really all I have. If you have questions.
I have one, Dave. Is that... a basic EMT class?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Which means they'll be done and ready to practice I mean, after shadowing, I mean, they're ready to practice.
You only have to pass the national exam.
Okay, yeah. But then they're...
Yeah. And we're meeting with Dr. Goddard on Wednesday for a quarterly review.
And are they wanting to hire on with you?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
Okay. How many of them did you say there?
I think we started with 6, finishing with 3. So, attrition is generally...
Average.
Yeah, 50%. We hope we've made an appeal to the high school, and hopefully we'll get some young kids interested that will grow into wanting to do this when they're in college.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. We ran 6 calls in April, 2 trauma, 4 medical. Only one of those was a refusal, and one was a public assist. Somebody feeling ill, maybe a little assistance. Nothing out of the ordinary at any of the calls.
We're going to cover the standby policy.
Okay, that's
that something I got.
The only thing I wanted to add is I know we there was a bill for replacing the turbo in 192, which it lasted one trip to Casper and failed, but they're warranting all of it. For the, so we're on another new turbo is in it. It's made a couple runs. It's fine so far.
I did have one question under director's report, and this got brought up, I think, at the end of the meeting last month. Your urgent care thing, is there a reason you're not using any Buffalo urgent cares? Like any Buffalo entities?
The cost is higher. They won't bill direct. Dutch County Healthcare won't bill directly to us.
Okay.
The Buffalo urgent care cost is higher.
Okay.
This place is cheaper. I can fax in a request and it's done.
Okay.
And they provide all of the services we need.
Okay.
I've tried to work with the clinic. I've tried to work with the clinic in Buffalo. I've tried to work with the Buffalo Urgent Care won't even get back to me. So I'm like, we've been dealing with this place for quite a few years.
Okay.
It's just easier.
Okay. Okay.
So
that's unfortunate.
If somebody in Johnson County would be willing to do these services and work with an agency, I would love to.
Okay.
Because it'd be a lot easier for people to do stuff here. But
yeah. So I saw that last bill was vaccinations. Can you just explain that, what your vaccinations for $889?
There's multiple people on there, but I don't know, maybe vaccinations isn't the correct line item, but they had some titers pulled, some people did need some booster shots,
okay.
Drug tests,
okay.
All the stuff they have to do for student
okay.
stuff.
So it's not technically, because I was like, that's a lot of vaccinations for people. So that's not technically just vaccinations.
It's
okay.
The whole thing, because okay. they have everybody had to get the record, but you know, if they're looking at MMR titers, varicella titers,
okay.
Hep B titers, if they haven't had a booster recently,
okay.
TB testing,
okay.
the boosters they needed after their titers are on there,
okay.
and the 10 panel drug test.
Okay.
And that's multiple people. That's
sure. Okay.
Yeah, that was, I mean, a lot in one bill, but everybody, all the students kind of all bunched
what?
Up and went
okay.
at once.
It would be great if we could do that at the KC Clinic.
It would be.
And
I agree,
them.
But they won't.
So one titer from the KC Clinic, because I did it under my insurance 1 year, was almost $1,100.
Okay.
Versus 60.
Okay.
And the last, I actually had a titer pulled here once, and they screwed it up, and I had to go get it done again.
Okay.
And they charged me for both, or they said they would turn me over to collections. I said, I'm done with
it. Okay. Okay. Maybe I'll do a little digging.
Yeah, if you can work something out,
great.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Thank you for explaining that. Okay. Old business, the Lucas device contract. So Crosby graciously had the Lucas device folks give us a thing for the Lucas Prevent on-site for 4 Lucas devices for 1 year. So this is them coming in, servicing everything, and then all brand new batteries for everything. and batteries last quite a few years. So they gave a 15% discount, so the final total would be $5,844.60 to service all four Lucases and to replace batteries for all four Lucases. Just for them to come and look at it and run a test through it, it's for four of them is $1,700. And so this $5,800 includes running that test and the batteries.
So it's a one-time service.
You could renew it every year if you wanted, but because the batteries last 6 to 8 years,
yeah, you wouldn't really
you
want
wouldn't,
to.
It'd be kind of a big shot up front for $5,844. Get all the. Will they replace the batteries if the batteries don't need replaced?
Yes.
Okay. You could say.
And like all four of our batteries have the orange light that they're at the end of their life cycle, so they're gonna. That's what when the Striker guys are going, yeah, you're. If you buy this contract, I'm bringing all the new batteries and I'll service both your Lucas devices.
Okay.
And the only thing that prompted me is when that orange light's on and they're into their life, they may work a month,
yeah,
a year, or one time. They have no guarantees on what's going to happen. So
and that's
it's another
lawsuit.
Quality Striker product that they've set up, so you have to buy more from them.
So budgeting about $1,000 a year would cover Lucas maintenance.
Yes, but you wouldn't maintain, you wouldn't do it every year.
Right.
Yeah.
And that goes back to that, trying to build that maintenance and repair fund up for, I mean, besides the annual contract on the light backs, if we needed to buy a, you know, service on a power load or a power cot or these things. I mean, having that there, so wherever those medical devices are that need repaired or a contract, that money's there.
Yeah.
But that's something we've kind of struggled with getting, whether it's a line item for putting money in savings or what.
And tell me, one battery is what?
$950.
And each Lucas has two batteries?
Yes.
So 950 times 8 is 7,600 would be just for batteries alone to replace. I mean, unfortunately, it's kind of a chunk, but
I think it's a good investment, especially if you've got somebody down and they've got many miles to go. The quality of CPR and you gain another set of hands when you've got that thing going.
Yeah.
But I think it's could be said it's the standard of care.
Yeah.
And if we're not going to maintain this equipment, then we need to dispose of it. Either we buy it, and, I mean, we've got all those on grants, but either we maintain it and use it or we get rid of it. So.
Well, and you're interrupting CPR for enough amount of time when if it shuts down and you got to try and take that thing off of them and start CPR manually. I'm good with it for, it would be this next fiscal year.
That's just
budget.
What I was going to ask you if we decided whether it would be the next fiscal year. Okay. Is that, so we need to figure.
But that's where we need to look as to if we have.
Okay.
Do you have anything to add?
Oh, I agree 100%.
Okay.
You know, to save more lives with the Lucas in the last 4 years than we have my whole career.
Yeah.
And I think, especially coming as far as KC, you know, it's critical.
Yeah.
And they've saved some folks with the Lucas coming up in KC. And I couldn't, you got to keep them up.
So we have increased our equipment maintenance agreement proposed from $8,000 to $14,000. And I think
life packs are part of that too, I think, right?
Yeah. I don't know if that, I think it was increased also with the anticipation that the Lucas contract was going to be additional expense. and I don't remember exactly what all went into that $14,000, but it is higher than it's traditionally been.
Yeah, I think in the past it's always just been the mate or the light pack agreement.
And what's that every year? That's required.
So like the cost, like when I've done the COTS, it's been a same deal. Like buy it for a year, they come in and you get new batteries and clip new hoses on and they service them, and then you're done. Like I haven't bought a pro or a service contract on our COTS for a couple of years because after the last time they came in, they went through them. It's good. All of our batteries have stayed good. And
okay, you guys have that?
Well, we're having to replace a battery on a cot, and one cot that we had some maintenance issues with, it was under warranty, so we've had repair done, but at no charge.
So you don't have a maintenance agreement?
No, we do not.
And I think the year that we got it bought from down here was, I knew we had bad hoses and they were leaking, and the Striker guy said, if you'll buy the contract, I'll come in and do new hoses, not charge you, because mileage was included in the contract, and give you new batteries. And it was cheaper than calling them to drive up here, work on it, and then buying batteries at $850, $900 a pop. So it's the same deal. You buy it when you need it. They come in and do all the work under that contract, and then you don't buy it again.
I mean, if we feel like that $14,000 is going to cover that contract, or do we need to increase that line item?
Well, I think that may not cover everything this year, but if you continue with that figure for maintenance contracts going forward, you've got some surplus there.
Okay.
On years when we're not having to do four Lucas overhauls. So I think I only can find one previous estimate of $8,000 a year, so
okay.
I don't think we need to go higher.
Okay. Does anybody want to make a motion? So I think what we would do, because we'll just have to figure out the logistics as to how Buffalo EMS would contact them to be under our service agreement. I'm sure that's not hard to
the devices do. All the devices are owned by the district.
So then it would just be, okay, perfect. So does anyone if there's any, no more discussion, if anyone would like to make a motion to approve the ProCare Lucas Prevent on-site service.
So moved.
For all four devices. Okay, anybody? Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. So again, this will occur after
July 1.
Yep. Okay. All right. Get rid of that. Next, I have budget discussion and preliminary budget approval.
So there have been some revisions and upgrades, if you will, since our last meeting. And one of the major changes was removing many of these repair bills from the line item that was board expense, which vastly exceeded our budget last year and didn't really describe where the money was going. And there was a handout in the packet that addressed that item specifically. And highlighted on those two pages of expenses that went under board expense were the large items, which were mostly vehicle repair, with some other costs such as the firewall cost of $1,708. But for the most part, it was sort of an other category, but the bulk of it was ambulance maintenance and repair. So I think it would be more clear and easier to track expenses if we were budgeting and accounting for maintenance and repair countywide in one line item. And in a similar fashion, capital expenditure. And so the figures that were proposed on the new budget for ambulance repair and maintenance was $22,000. I went back and as best could averaged out maintenance and repair costs over the last 7 years. Now in the last year, the 22 budget, the total was $31,000. So that exceeded what the current budget proposal is. Mm-hmm. But over the 7 year average, it's about $15,500. So I think it's going to be impossible to predict, but a fairly good estimate. And I'd be willing to have any suggestions to adjust that total.
Dr. Schuler, so under KC's where since moved to district, what was the dollar amount last year? They were over by quite a bit. What was the dollar amount that is for KC's considered in this $22,000?
Last year was $13,800.
Yeah. So, but I mean, is this $22,000, is that including...
That's
estimates for KC?
Yeah, and that's for six ambulances, estimating 1 year's repair and maintenance. And there are years that were $7,000 or $8,000,
yeah.
And then years that were $30,000.
Some of the ambulances are getting old.
Yeah. Well, one is very old, but the other five aren't too bad. And I think those mileages are on these reports every month.
So can I ask you this then? Is that going to include, I guess I don't remember for sure if we agreed that we were no longer going to pay, the board was going to start paying for tires and things for everybody. Is any of that considered in this budget? I don't know that that's actually been voted on and approved by the board. I don't remember. But right now, right now, we don't pay those costs.
That's where it gets sticky when we have to approve the budget before the contract. Because that's technically in the contract. So once we approve the contract, then that will...
But do we need to think about putting more into this ambulance repairs and maintenance than $22,000? Because of that?
Well, I think we'll get better at that estimate when everything's gathered together and we can track that for a while. And I know the Buffalo Ambulance covered some of those, but there were items that exceeded a certain amount that then were covered by the district. And I think that was a $2,000 cutoff.
Yeah.
So I don't know what Buffalo Ambulance was kicking in over the last few years that were below that 2,000 threshold.
So Carrie made a spreadsheet.
Sounds like it was like 7,000.
But that was towards, I think, the beginning of the year.
Carrie, do you remember that?
Well, I think over the last 3 years... operating under this contract, it's been anywhere from 7,000 to 9,000. Of course, we're not finished with this fiscal year. We're expecting to be closer to the 10,000. So that 22,000 was 10,000 estimated for the Buffalo ambulances and 12 for KC is what they had requested. So that's where the 22,000 figure came up with.
Yeah, in 2021, Buffalo EMS paid repairs and maintenance for $5,700. In 2022, $7,000. And then at the time, it was when we got this, it was $7,900 for 2023.
Yeah, and we've spent over $1,000 in the last month.
So $8,900, almost
$9,000.
So my only concern is if we don't change that, so if this number hasn't technically... I'm just wondering if we shouldn't pad it a little bit more.
Well, looking at the total proposed budget for next year, our expenses are $16,800 below projected revenues. So if you wanted to move some of that into maintenance or repair and maintenance, there's a little bit of a surplus the way the numbers run currently.
I can just make a comment after I've done this for a number of years. And reading, I think, in the bulletin, the anticipated tax revenue, I think, might even be more than $800,000. And so typically the board requests more in this line item in case you only say 800,000 and you intend to get the full 2 mills. If you say 800,000 and then the mill levy comes in at 840, you won't get the 40. And so right now with this over and short number, that 16,800, you're going to have to remove that amount from what you're requesting. Unless you do
put it somewhere,
farm it out into some other categories. So I do think ambulance repairs and maintenance would be one of the excellent spots for that. And then perhaps maybe increasing capital outlay or replacement ambulance and equipment reserve.
Yeah, because that should be $150,000 a year if we're going to replace an ambulance after 5 or 6 years. You're going to have that much going in. And we've already collected $857,000 in tax revenues to date, end of April. So that's probably a very good point that the mill levy's gone up enough and the best place for that is in equipment and ambulances.
So with this $16,800, if we don't use this, we don't get it.
Right.
I mean, if we don't show
well,
that we need it.
Maybe another $40,000 if that's what the commissioners are actually thinking is going to be the valuation. And I don't have that article with me, but typically we ask the commissioners or the treasurer's office for that figure at the May meeting or the June meeting when you ratify, just so that if you intend on asking for the full 2 mills, and you might not, but yes, that's right. So with the 16,800 and then maybe the additional 40, you have about $56,000 that you can add and divide up to your expenses.
Okay. Well, it's unclear if we'll get any more tax revenue, but it's unlikely next year is going to be less than the current year, which is already $857,000.
Mm-hmm.
So we probably need to adjust our revenue side where we're anticipating $800,000 in taxes. That's probably low.
So to increase that to 8. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, I mean, you want to be a little bit conservative.
Yeah.
Just in case. I think the taxes are going to come in better, way better, like Carrie said, than what they did last year.
So is $850 a more accurate prediction?
Did you say we've already gotten $850 though?
Yeah. The way these checks come in now, it's unclear if any more are coming.
Right, because they did change the payment schedule, and so that might not be the best way to determine what we would get next year. But I would ask the commissioners of the courthouse. The assessor's office is actually the ones that are going to set the mill levy. So generally May, June, the board will say, okay, what do you think?
The problem is that we have to have this to the commissioners by June 1st.
Right.
Which will
be. So I would go high, and then they can adjust it if they feel or they recommend you adjust it. They don't have the authority to make those changes, but they would advise you to make those changes if they felt it was going to be significant.
Marilyn, you have a lot of experience with this. What do you say?
I don't think it'll hurt at all to raise that sum.
To what, 850, 875?
Yeah, no, I'd be more comfortable leaving it at 840, putting that 40,000 in there, but it just depends.
Well, am I remembering correctly that it's possible what we receive, we may have to give some back at the end of the year?
We won't collect it all. It won't all be collected is what's possible.
But what we've already received, we're going to retain.
What we've already received, yes.
And we've received 857, is that right?
Yes, according to our April budget. 857,153, which was an additional 57,000 from the month before.
So, I mean, I guess I'd be comfortable putting another 50 in there, 40 or 50. I tend to go towards the 40, but we have to be, as Carrie mentioned too, we've got to make sure that when we ask for our full 2 mil, because that kind of trips you up, that you actually, your dollar amount, because the commissioners will look at our dollar amount, and if our dollar amount request need doesn't meet the mill levy amount, then we're out that. So we have to make sure that in our numbers.
So that 830 needs to refer, that bottom number, or no, the 1,000, the 1 million.
Yeah.
Right.
1.474. Mm-hmm. Total revenue
needs to reflect expenses.
Well, no, that's right.
Well, that could be reflected several places.
So we
just apply it.
Yeah, we just want to make sure that we've got enough in there to cover that additional two mills, so we're not shorted on our mills.
Maybe we ought to check with the assessor's office or commissioners and find out to get closer to that. Because we will lose what we don't ask for.
Absolutely.
Yep. 100%.
And typically, even though you give the commissioners the budget at June 1st, you do have at your July meeting to make a change if you need to.
So we don't have to approve this tonight to be the end-all, be-all of things.
Well, it would be a temporary.
An initial approval.
Draft
to present to the commissioners.
Approved preliminary budget.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and on that note, $41,000 went out of the KC budget on this one. It says move to district. It's not in district. Our whole capital outlay is gone, and our FERC comp's gone. And unless you guys have decided to not pay retirement, then the FERC comp would be gone. But our whole capital outlay is gone, too.
It's been added.
It's not. $35,000. The same number that we started with is the life pack for the WMS. That $35,000 cap value has never changed. Our cap value request just got deleted.
that's not good. So what?
Which is, if you're not approving it, that's fine. I'm just saying.
No, what? I think,
you don't
and correct me if I'm wrong. No, part of it was from our audit. They said that the capital outlay, wasn't that the issue? Because it's a district-wide capital outlay expense that it needs to go to the district-wide
budget.
Yeah,
yes, you took it out of our budget.
Saying, but it's not,
it's not in the district budget.
I get you.
You just deleted it out of your budget.
Okay, I get you.
We need to add it, but we probably...
As with deferred comp got deleted out, so there's $41,000 that deleted out of our budget that didn't get put back.
There's $35,000 in capital outlay.
That was for the life pack that monthly EMS requested.
And the previous budget was $1,500.
But we only do capital outlay per year for requests. That's how that's always been budgeted.
So $35,000 is what one life pack is going to cost for one of the Buffalo ambulances. And then $28,000 is what the lift assist.
But I put in $36,000 for a power lift and Wildlink radios.
Okay.
And you guys can decline that. I mean, that's...
I don't think it was never an issue of declining. It was just simply based on the audit and how we needed to...
No, I agree with moving it. I'm just saying it...
Needs to reflect
what?
When you look at this budget and you say you got $16,000 extra, you took $41,000 out of your expenditures from us.
Well, $12,000 from maintenance is in
the
district-wide expense.
That's the only one. The other $41,000 didn't make it over. The $36,000 for cap outlay and the $5,000 for deferred comp.
Okay, so why was I informed that deferred compensation wasn't on the budget? I think I got that in an email.
It's not even, the line item isn't even in this proposal that I can see.
But on this one, the KC one, it just says no longer needed. It's just deleted. Which, I mean, if you guys are going to not pay retirement, that's cool.
No, that's the...
That's not cool.
That's the that's your pinch. That's the pinch, the $18.
That's where the volunteer...
That's the line retirement.
It's just gone.
Yeah.
Right.
And it runs about $56 a month.
That number can be dropped. I'm not disagreeing with that. But, if the board's not going to pay volunteer retirement, then yes, it can, the whole line item can go away.
That was never discussed, that we weren't going to pay that. So.
No, but the line item for deferred comp isn't in district-wide expense.
But if you look at our budget, Marilyn, it just says no longer needed.
Yeah, I see
that's
that.
Where I took it, is the board was no longer going to pay retirement.
Yeah, it says that. No longer needed.
I think that was probably because Crosby wasn't doing the 3% IRA.
And that's, I mean, both of those things came out of there.
We forgot to
account
for the retirement account. That should still be in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that
needs to be added.
That line item still needs an amount in it.
And it can be like $2,000, being it's just volunteer retirement.
That's the $18.75 per employee per month.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So should that be in their budget then, KC's, rather than ours?
That's whatever the auditors told you were. I mean, because I know they.
I don't think they discussed.
We
could
probably keep
that part.
I would keep that, KC. There was not a discussion on changing.
Just the capital outlay.
And make that $2,000 because it runs about. Unless you're going to get some new guys.
How many?
Well, but our policy is they got to be here a year.
A year.
What's
so
your max? They have to be here a year. So at the end of the fiscal, you probably can't tell me off the top of your head, but at the end of your fiscal year, how many will be your max number of employees who could? Because it's just, I mean, it's an easy number because it's 18. It does, the number doesn't change. $18.75 a month.
And I think right now it's like $56.
Paying on three.
I mean.
So three would be $56
and
20 cents.
And two of our volunteers are getting paid out of fire.
We could potentially add in this year people that would be here a year. Two more?
Yes.
Would be
So $93.75 times 12 would be $1,125. So if we put $1,500
in, $1,500
you'd cover
yeah.
in case terms.
And then we need to add back in the capital outlay.
So what was the deferred compensation amount? $1,500
Did you say 1440?
It's $1,500
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it? 50. It's not going up this year, is it?
They haven't said.
Because it was going up every 3 years.
I can't. I don't know.
Because it went up like last year, the year before, didn't it, Gary? So we got another year before Casey another job.
Okay. So capital expenditure.
Capital outlay.
Is going to be 35 plus?
Yeah.
36.
$71,000
I guess, and that was power load, computer, radios, all of that rolled into that capital outlay.
And the two WildLink radios, you recommended those get replaced?
Mm-hmm.
So is that 71,000
in May? Mm-hmm. They want to start programming.
They want to know the
June.
So then we need
yes,
to increase.
June or July is when they said we should
increase the mill levy, that
yeah.
will
yes. offset. Yeah.
Right.
That
was
the capital
outlay.
Down, way from the original.
I think it's got to go above 57.
So we've got 36,000 plus 1,500 plus whatever we want to add to maintenance on ambulances. And so far we've added 37,500.
So one of the things that we had asked specifically in
I'd say at least another 10 on ambulance
capital outlay was essentially, and she gave a good explanation of
all
it.
Three accounts.
Cindy.
So 33.
What her
32,
explanation
000?
Of what actual
yeah.
capital outlay is. And it's really anything that, which I can't remember off the top of my head, needed upgraded. Let me see.
So that's 42,000.
I can find her email.
If we've gotten 857, don't you think we ought to ask for more than 800?
We've always used
was that follow up
purchasing new equipment.
How come we got 850? Or 857?
Increased valuation.
Yeah, like equipment,
mineral
revenues.
But if we only asked for 722 or whatever it was at the beginning, but
oh, how did we get more than that? I don't understand the government operations that well. I'm a new treasurer.
So you guys can
so here it
add
is.
That into the
capital outlay. This is the line item expenditures are recorded to for money spent to maintain, upgrade, acquire, or repair assets. This is similar to a repairs and maintenance.
Get a better idea.
So that was our question
words,
as to
well,
if we already have a repairs
mills,
and maintenance account,
expenses,
do we need a capital outlay
we're,
account?
We're
if we already
more
have
money
spare
we
money
the
yeah.
capital
expenditure,
but we can increase our expenditures. I mean, we already increased it by 36 and by 10. And then there's
yeah,
other places.
Because it hadn't just been equipment.
We,
I mean, all our repairs and maintenance.
I mean, there's a lot of places that we could.
Well, I don't know that I could make a strong case. But I think.
But then you also have the replacement ambulance and equipment reserve, which to me says the exact same thing as well.
Well, that right
well,
there.
And
no, that's for the new ambulance.
That's putting money aside.
Oh, that's right.
Savings.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's
the
buy-in.
Capital outlay line is where we spend it out.
Yeah.
And technically, it's going to cost $150,000 a year
to get to that, really, in 2 years.
To be able to replace an ambulance that's 6 years old.
Yeah. Okay.
Do we need to put something in this line?
I don't understand what that means. I think that was something old that's not...
Yeah, she pretty much said it's a repairs and maintenance account.
Not part of the current budget.
So allowance for doubtful collections are not in there?
Well, last year was the first year they did that, and what it was for is you had an extra $36,100 that you did not put in a line item, knowing that you would probably be writing off some ambulance revenue or not receiving the entire mill tax bill, which has happened for 3 years in a row, except for this year, because payments are made now on a monthly basis. And so that's why that was added just last year. It hadn't happened before. And I think it's better used by not having a doubtful collection and actually dividing it amongst your line items.
My only concern with that, not having that, and maybe it's just because this is an odd year, is we've already had two
pretty good size
who we've pretty much
And I understand that. However,
Would you account for that?
And that's why we account for that in ambulance income by speculating lower than we think. Although we are a lot lower than we thought for the year. So the way you, instead of that, doubtful purchases, just don't put as much for your ambulance revenue.
Okay.
But if you have any extra and you want to put it for doubtful collections, then that's fine too. I think it's better to underestimate your ambulance revenue than overestimate and then have to write it off later.
And if you want to leave a little something in the doubtful collections, I mean, you could take, $10,000, leave it in there and put the other somewhere else.
So our ambulance revenue has already been thought, has already considered doubtful collections, is that what we're saying?
Well, we have, although we're at 84% of the year, and our ambulance revenue is only at 72%. We're not going to realize, most likely, all $400,000 this year.
Well, there's some very large figures that I don't understand that were part of the last audit that we just got. And this shows charge-off per workers' comp of $600,000. And charge off per Medicaid $12,000, and charge off for 2 years bad debt. I mean, these total charged off debt are over $1 million, and they're not numbers I've seen before, and I don't know how that fits in, but this was something I was given to review as I looked over the report from the auditor. So it looks to me like in fiscal year 21-22, there was something like $1 million of charged off bad debt. I don't know how that fits. But there's a lot of written off charges that don't get paid. And now the other thing that I'm still trying to figure out is this is a cash accounting basis, which is what auditors keep saying is not the typical kind of accounting. But my understanding is we are only counting what we get, not what we bill and have to write off. I don't know what the advantage is, but so I don't think with the kind of accounting we're doing, we should also be throwing in something like doubtful collections. I think there's some inconsistency there. And I think we just estimate what our revenue is based on what's come in years past, and that's about as good a guess as we're going to come up with.
So then when we do write something off, we've got to show that in our expenses, right?
Well, I don't think with cash accounting we're dealing with bad debt. I think it's here's how much we brought in and here's how much we have to spend to stay in business.
That might be a question for the auditors.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with Dr. Sheila. That is basically
is
the correct.
So just take that line completely out?
Yeah, it's not part of what we've proposed for this next year. It's just left over.
Yeah.
But maybe Cindy, if we invite her to a meeting, could clarify.
Well, I'd like
to
suggest
that. I'm
going
to
call her and see if she'll call
her.
There's a lot of unanswered questions after as to how to
especially after
correctly record it.
Dave.
Well, I know the $600,000 workman's comp's got to be a wrong number somewhere because we don't do three or four of those a year. And the bigger numbers, what we bill out and what Medicare pays, that is shown as write-off. And, you know, what we bill out, it isn't just write-offs that, you know, bad debt.
No,
where do you see $600,000
in workman's comp? Well, Mark just read that.
Yeah.
That was from last year's, the end of the year. That's what was in. Possibly did Cloud Peak Accounting help you create those adjusting entries in last year's? I didn't do any of that. That was just
that would have been Cloud Peak Accounting.
Yeah, Cloud Peak Accounting helped you to create those write-offs.
So, to explain the write-offs, you know, an ambulance call might be $1,500. Medicare only allows $637. Then they pay 80% of that $637. So knowing when the board sets their rates, they're setting their rates for a minority of insurance companies that will actually pay that, knowing that Medicare and Medicaid will write off more than half usually. But that's just so that you can recoup some of those, and we're within the national average for our, if not below, for our ambulance rates.
We're extremely below.
So I think those numbers sound scary, and if we were to actually put on the budget what we anticipate billing out, and then yes, we would have to also have $1 million in write-offs as well. And so this is the cash accounting, and that's why we had never done the doubtful collections before. But
what was the reason it happened last year?
Pete suggested that at the last hour because there was that surplus.
Okay, so I'm going
to
take that.
So what I have so far is we're increasing our taxes to 840. We're increasing our capital outlay to 71,000, which then decreases the short in Overton. That's gone of the 16,000.
We've added 1,500 in deferred compensation.
Oh, yep, and then deferred comp. Okay.
And I would propose we increase ambulance repairs and maintenance from 22,000 to 32,000.
Okay.
Anticipating that we had three different ways of accounting for those costs and may have underestimated from what information I collected.
So is the deferred compensation going to stay on KC's budget?
Yes.
Or okay.
Okay, so we're not going to put that on our budget.
Mm-hmm. I think it should stay under KC.
So basically, you've added 46,000 plus 1,500, so 47,500, but you've only increased your.
So we should go to. So we should go to 850 at least.
Well, yeah. No, but you already had a short over, so you still have a little bit of leeway. I don't have my calculator. You still have a little bit you can add to maybe replace an ambulance and equipment reserve. Because of originally you had 16,800.
Mm-hmm. You want to delete that from ambulance income to offset. Get rid of that doubtful collections line.
Well, and we don't have that doubtful collections for 2023-2024.
That's what I say, because you're deleting that, you want to lower your ambulance revenue projection if we're not on track to make 400,000 this year. Would we want to drop that for next year?
Okay, I see what you mean.
Because we're, we're behind where we should have.
That makes sense.
Or we're behind what we estimated.
Like, is dropping it 20 grand, like, to 380?
On the ambulance revenue side?
Because already we've had 14, technically, 1,000 about in the two people that are mm-hmm. paying. $25 a month.
Well, volume is down, it looks like, too. I mean, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think if you look at actual revenue over 10 months and you annualize that, it gives you a realistic figure that you can justify. So with 2 months to go, or 84% of the revenues for the year, we've collected $288,576. So you can adjust that for an annual figure, and you'll be below 400 by 30,000.
How much did you say that, I'm sorry, that you would be under?
30,000, he said. Well, let's look at that.
Yes, that's quite, I mean, year to date, 288,000. Estimated 400, and we've got 2 months to go.
So, you could round it up. I get 346,291, or estimate that your revenues next year at this rate would be about 350,000.
So this, if you look at the April budget and it says month is 27, I mean, if you just average $27,000 a month mm-hmm. too, mm-hmm. you get 324,000.
Yeah.
So we're 56,000 under.
But this is a slower month.
Yeah.
You know, you're missing some high season months. June is busier than April, and May probably is too.
So even if we did 35,000.
So I'm getting 28,000 a month. And if we were to do that by 28,857 by 12 months, it comes out to 346,291.
Yeah, I was just looking at deposits by month from QuickMed, and I was just looking at KC's. The lowest month was $87. The highest month was $9,800. Because so it's the way call volume and billing cycles go. You can't. It's hard to outguess it. But I think the way Dr. Shu was doing is probably too fast. 350 would be accurate.
Yeah, because if you round that up, that's, yeah, 350,000.
Well, dropping your anticipated revenue by 50 and increasing your taxes by 50 is a wash.
Mm-hmm.
So we then would be planning to spend more than we're going to take in,
yeah,
which we're not legally mm-hmm. allowed to do.
So
Yeah, if we don't add any to ambulance repairs and maintenance, we still added 37.5. Mm-hmm. And we had 16.8 over on these current figures. And it would seem to me this is all guesswork. It sort of...
Sorry, I think I'm confused on what you're... So you're saying that our revenue is, with these changes, is less than our expenditures?
Well, if we spend more money on capital outlay...
But I think even with this... even adjusting these... still pretty much gets us the exact same number, 2,500 and 20,000.
Right. And then if you go all the way to the bottom of the page, you had an additional 16,800 that wasn't spent based on these predicted revenues. But capital outlay was only half of what it needed to be.
Yeah.
So we had to come up with 36,000 for that.
And then 10,000 for ambulance repairs.
46,000.
Yeah, if we add, if we increase ambulance repairs, so
but
we're still way under the 2 million. That's why I'm so confused. We're still way under the 2 million. Oops, sorry, 2,500,000.
Well, because you have these expenses
have to match your revenue.
Don't include our KC budget or our Buffalo EMS contract. So those are also expenses that go against your total revenue.
So we need to add. You're right. So we're going to, that's 2,559,200. So we're over by 30,000. Our revenue is 30,000 less than our expenses.
But you had a short and over already of 16.8, so it should, I think. Well, yeah, 30 if you increase the ambulance repairs and maintenance by 10.
And then
so I added up everything we changed here for the revenue, and I added up everything we changed here and included the KC and Buffalo EMS and got 2,559,200.
Is that with increasing the mill levy to 8?
That's
50.
That's part of the revenue.
Yeah.
The revenue, I got 2,520,000, and that's increasing the mill levy to 840 and changing the ambulance income to 350.
Since we're already at 857,000, don't you think it would be justifiable to increase that up to at least 850?
Yeah.
The tax revenue instead of 840.
Yeah.
Is that what you did?
No, I didn't. I kept it at 840.
Looks like maybe.
And we're at 857.
What's that?
Looks like probably we should bump that to 850.
At least 850. Because
well,
we've got two more
over.
Right. I'd say 850 for sure. And that takes.
So now you're $20,000 over budget.
So.
So the auditing, they said we paid 25,000 this year, but they said if we use them again,
they drop that.
But we don't know to
it's
what.
It's about 8,000 less, because I think that's about what they said was going to be
so we could,
additional expense.
Yeah, between 7 and 8,000.
So we could essentially take from there.
So it was 25,000, did you say?
That's what the check was for.
Yeah.
Right. So
that would be 17,000.
That's 5,000.
Well, I'm not sure we have to.
I don't know if we have to do that.
I'm not sure we have to project lower revenues next year for ambulance revenues. But that, to me, I think if you're afraid that you're not going to get your full 2 mils, that's something you do. But if you're, I mean, how many years do health care revenues go down year after year? It seems like prices go up and everything's more expensive. So I don't know where revenue was last year at this time. That's something that you can look up on the website, but I'm not sure lowering our anticipated revenue for the sake of a budget that balances is that useful.
I mean, the other thing, agreeing with you on leaving that number alone, is our mileage rate is half of what it is in this region. In mileage, like on those Medicare discounts, like here to Casper, mm-hmm. we make more in mileage than we do on what Medicare pays. And we're half of what Northeast Wyoming is for mileage on our charges. All those transfers are billed by the mile. That's where the money's at. Mm-hmm. You will leave your base rates alone, you can. If we get up our mileage a little, you probably increase revenue faster than anything.
And that's what Safe Tech Solutions recommended. And we did that right after, because I think we were at like $12 or something, $14 a mile. And we're now charging $40 a mile. But it crossed.
It's about everywhere else is 50 to 60 right now.
60 a mile. And our call volume, even though we've had a low 2 months, is for the fiscal year, we're up 6 to 7%.
Yeah, just, Medicare and Medicaid are
going
to increase.
I just see that keep going up too, don't you? I don't see it ever going back down.
Not unless we have another COVID type situation.
Yeah.
What happens is you bill based on your private insurances. You know you're going to write it off for Medicare and Medicaid, but if you don't bill Medicare and Medicaid, those what you're billing private insurances, then you can't bill Medicare and Medicaid those charges either. Your private insurances pay those bills, as does like the VA and all that. Just Medicare and Medicaid approves what they're going to pay every year, and that's all they're going to pay. So you're always going to write off.
Oh, you just leave that $400,000.
That's the game of maximizing.
Yeah.
You need to maximize your revenue.
I think you could keep it at
$400,000. Yeah. I think, yep, I agree. I think we need it at $400,000.
I just threw that out there. If it screws up this other line item, drop your revenue to make it work better. But if you guys, then you can live with however the auditors look at it. That's
well, if we kept our revenue at 400, then we're
you're golden
covered. Mm-hmm. Not by a lot, but
or take your revenue down to whatever you need it to be to make the numbers match.
Yeah, because when you turn this in, the numbers have to.
And we've got about 19,000 then. If we make these changes, leave revenue the same and increase our tax revenue prediction, that should probably go straight into replacement ambulance reserve, which is 100,000 on this budget, and the target is to get that to 150 by the next budget cycle.
19,000, whatever it's about.
Yeah.
Good idea. Yeah.
All clear as mud.
So that's 400,850 were the changes, and then.
So our new total revenue, if we keep it at 400, is $2,580,000.
Just to throw another little clinker in there, do you think $5,000 is going to be enough for board legal expenses?
I was wondering about that too.
Well, if we save $7,000 or $4,000 on our auditing, we'll have a little.
Yeah. Are we going to keep $22,000 in there, or are we going to put it to $17,000?
I don't know. These accountants charge a lot. I think maybe we ought to leave 22.
Case their prices go up?
Well, because the thing is, too, is what if we may need something more than just auditing. Like, we have to be able to have, you know, it could be something more needed besides just auditing.
Sounds good. So the difference goes into the replacement of the ambulances, which is totally legit.
So the total is $2,500 and $13,200. So $6,800 difference. $66,800 more in revenue than expenses.
Even with that $36,000 added to capital.
You know, it's hard to plug in all these dang numbers into my computer. But that's what I got.
That's what's good about the.
This is a real calculator.
Oh, I should have got the laptop.
14747.
We spent 47.5 more than what we had written down, and we added 50. So we've got 2,500 more than what this sheet had on it, and add that to your 16.8. So you've got 19.3, which goes to ambulance replacement.
Okay. All right. Anything additional? So just, again, a quick overview is we are adding back in $1,500 of deferred comp for KCEMS. We took out their capital outlay and vehicle repairs and maintenance. However, that has now been added to the district-wide expense. Everything good on your end, Crosby?
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? So, do we want to make a motion to approve this draft so Dr. Schuler can submit it to the county commissioners by Thursday, June 1st? The commissioner's final budget hearing, that's the only problem too, will be July 17th.
I just had one other thought on the collection fees. Do we spend $40,000 a year on collection fees?
Yeah, 10% of revenues go to collection.
That has to be that way. Okay. I have one.
And is there an election next year?
No. In November 2024.
But it won't be this year.
Okay. We added that. I guess I can't see anything else we need to.
The other question we need to
carry over.
Consider is just throwing this out there, if we're going to continue to keep Dr. Goddard at just $1,000 a month.
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to throw it out there.
It's
So, okay.
I don't know. I guess it depends on what the board wants to do. He signed the agreement, didn't
he? Yeah.
Might have to look at it next year, Paul.
Yeah. Okay. So, can we make a motion to approve this preliminary budget?
And then we will approve the next, the final one, or will we have to have a special meeting?
We got to have a budget hearing for that.
Special budget hearing.
The problem is our fiscal year starts July 1st, and the commissioners aren't even going to have a final budget hearing until July 17th.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, this is
it. They set the mill levy by statute. I think it's the 3rd of July and Monday.
But can you change the budget in the middle of the fiscal
year?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to make a budget adjustment.
Okay.
In January.
Okay.
You can always make budget adjustments.
Okay.
But you have the June meeting, if you needed to make any changes, you have one more meeting.
Right.
Yeah, this timeline says board finalized budget. June board meeting,
mm-hmm.
and then set a date and time for the budget hearing.
But we won't be able to really finalize anything in the June meeting because we will have to have. Can we change what we gave to the commissioners?
Yeah, I know it sounds backwards because the budget hearings are always after the budgets are set. But really, the budget hearing is a formality. It's not for the public to come and say, no, we don't like this, and let's reduce it. It's not that type of a hearing. So June would be your last opportunity to change. And you can make amendments throughout the year if something comes up, like Marilyn said.
Okay. Motions.
I move that we accept the proposed changes as a draft budget.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Adam, you're still awake and good. Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Okay. RFP for the new building. Marilyn, you were going to get some ideas.
I did. I'm waiting to still hear back from the Casper Star and the Sheridan Press. This is the... I put... Proposals are due no later than 5 p.m. June 30th of 2023. Any proposals received after that, blah, 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 won't be reopened. Because the soonest we could get ads in is like, it was going to be May 11th for the Sheridan Press, and then there's different ways they do it. The Gillette record was going to be $95 a day. And the Casper Star wouldn't give me a quote until they had a chance to review the ad.
Oh.
But what I did is I talked to Buffalo Bulletin. If we ran it 2 weeks in the Buffalo Bulletin, that's a $250 shot ad, and the ad is like 2 by 4 inches. And by the time we added up what Gillette would cost, the Bulletin would cost, and what I think the Sheridan Press, I think they're all fairly about the same, it would run anywhere between $700 and $1,000 to run the ad for 2 weeks and give the people that were responding 30 days to respond. If we go with the Wyoming Press Association, they'll put the ad in the all the papers in the state for $1,100. And it would then run for 2 weeks in every paper. And we could start the ads on, by May 15th. And the bulletin agreed to even to go ahead and place that ad for us and also add a QR code to it so they could scan the QR code for the packet itself, because this is just the ad. So it says on it, inquiries and requests should be emailed to
Marilyn
Camino or scan the QR code here.
Perfect.
And they could put that in the ad. But the quote I got from him was $1,100 for all of them.
I say that's what we
do. So, I don't know. Newspaper advertising is terrible.
Yeah.
Is that in our budget?
Put that in the bulletin.
Public notices is a line item. It's not a lot. I want to say it was legal notices, $750. So we're going to use that up. But
well, and we can use the grant money too. I mean,
well, this, yeah, wouldn't it have to be allocated towards the building fund rather than
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we could do it that way, but what we need to do is set up a checking account
for this building.
Mm-hmm. And then things like this can be paid out of it, so that we can track it all. And whatever we determine, whether it's 200,000 in there or the whole 417, I don't know. I think we could get by with probably 200 to start with.
Would it be easiest doing that at Bank of Buffalo or the other checking account is?
I think so. You'd have to, yeah.
Well, so the transfer is going to come from that money market checks account.
Yeah.
So that would be easier.
Yeah.
We probably should make a motion to set up that checking account.
I move that we open an account for our capital expenditure building fund.
Second.
Go ahead. Bank of Buffalo.
We'll start with $200,000 from money market. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Second.
I guess I'll second it.
All in favor. Well, I can't. So, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay. I really think you should just change the name to Marilyn, but whatever. This is your baby. You know all about this.
Not a baby, it's an abortion.
Okay, standby fee. I wanted to bring this up. This was brought to my attention. First, I want to tackle the Buffalo EMS standby fee. I contacted the school district and the fair board, and they said they just found out about this standby fee 2 weeks ago. And the policy has been in place since October, I believe, starting January 1st. So my concern is, I talked to school board too, and it was tough because they're now having to budget for this, and they just found out about it 2 weeks ago. And Fair Board is the same. And here's my concern. The lift assist that we have is because you're using ambulance personnel, fee, mileage, ambulance, and everything. That money, our lift assist, is coming to back to the Rural Healthcare District Board. So my concern is, why is the money for the standby going to Buffalo EMS only when we pay for personnel and fuel and ambulance? Why is that going to you privately?
Well, that was actually part of the last board's decision to do it that way, because standbys are not predictable, and so they would rather have had just a wash for that, being able to charge what your costs are to the people that you're charging for standbys, rather than build in an amount that we would have to guess for with our budget request every year. So at the time, the board wanted us just to get that, because it's not really a revenue generation. It is. It costs us $75 an hour to have people out there. For instance, we're going to have four people at the bull riding next Saturday. So
my
four EMTs times.
Yeah.
You know.
I guess I just don't understand the difference a little bit. My other concern is, which was brought to me by concerns from the entities who would have to pay this, is they feel like they're a private entity is taking two different taxpayers' money. They're taking school district taxpayers' money. They're taking Fair Board taxpayers' money while also taking Rural Healthcare District taxpayers' money and giving it to a private entity. And they were just concerned about that and the fact that they just found out about this. I question as well, I saw the contract for the Fair Board there last year was $50.
And we didn't set the standby fee. And so last year...
So last year there wasn't a policy. So
right.
You just did that on your own.
Yes.
You just charged them
right.
You're on
and
your
now
own.
Now the board has implemented that and said Buffalo EMS and KC will charge this amount. You told us we will charge this amount. We didn't have leeway there.
I guess
you
I'm just concerned about
the amount.
Right. Well, and I think we
KC recommended 50 and Buffalo EMS recommended 75. Buffalo EMS put a standby policy together for $75 an hour plus a $75 one-time administrative fee.
And the administrative fee did not come from us. It was something that Crosby brought up because they had done that in Campbell County. And
but it's still under your policy that you set to...
Right, but because when I say brought up, that was we had three or four standby policies that the board looked at. That's the one that the board chose. Buffalo EMS not once indicated there should be an administrative fee, but it wasn't our ruling. We might have said 75, but we wouldn't have, I mean, set an administrative fee. Crosby, am I correct in saying
so
that?
The one I presented, it was a deposit, but it went against the hourly charge.
Yeah,
you had to pay it up front. It wasn't an administrative fee. It was just a deposit. But, I mean, so if, when they booked it, they had to write you a check for X number of dollars. When you were done and you had your hourly bill, either came off the bill and then you billed the balance or whatever. That's kind of how that one went. But
right.
Yes, there was a, when they signed the agreement, they had to send you a check
and
to book them.
Yeah. And I remember a discussion, we probably have it recorded, but the board said, okay, what they went to, so far as to discuss, what does an administrative fee per event, per, you know,
yeah.
So that was a discussion that the board had, and were well aware of the ramifications and what they were asking for, because, and I'm fine if you want to change the standby policy, you just asked us to abide by it.
I guess my thing real quick with things, so like, the school district is doing their budget tonight. It's oddly, they broke it down for me, an insane amount of money for a football game that they have to pay. Like $1,500 for refs. They have to pay their staff overtime, and they said they just don't have a bucket to pay for anything. And so I guess my concern is that my biggest concern, and this is why I brought this up, is because it was brought to me and saying, too, like, why we say to cover personnel and things, but we're paying for that. So I guess my concern is why are you getting that money?
Right.
First of all,
and
then it's and the school board understands, they're like, we completely understand that this probably shouldn't be, because it's not mandated that they have an ambulance, but they said they don't want to see the ambulance go away at these games. But if you think about it, it's 7th, 8th grade ambulance, mm-hmm. freshman, JV, and varsity. So that's six teams of home games in the amount. And then it was also very confusing, this $75 per event / series of events. And they're like, so do we pay $75 for the entire year's football just once, $75 for every football game? Do we... And that was very unclear.
And Brittany, when we talked about this, it's been a year or two ago when they first brought the bull riding in, the big bull riding. It came to a KC meeting. And the comments were that Buffalo EMS is doing standbys, but they're not receiving any. They have to have their EMTs there.
And I get that.
They're not receiving any kind of reimbursement for standbys. So then we agreed to have the bull riding place just, if I remember right, just donate or whatever the dollar amount was, give it directly to Buffalo EMS. Because we were trying to help, you know, say that, well, yeah, you know, it does cost to have your EMTs there and you're not making any more money on it. And that was my understanding. And I got to tell you, I mean, with what we're budgeting for Buffalo EMS now, I'm not so sure I'd vote for it. But that was the impetus of the whole thing, is that Buffalo EMS wasn't making any money on standbys and they needed assistance with that. And that policy you're looking at, I believe, Carrie, that's the original that you guys presented in KC the last time.
Well, you asked me to type it up on behalf of the board, and I did that. So that wasn't what we presented, Buffalo EMS, because I have never dreamt up an administrative fee. That did not come from us. And making money is an incorrect term. If it costs us more money, let's say we pay $20 an hour per EMT. We have four EMTs at the bull riding. It's costing Buffalo EMS $80. We're getting $75 an hour. Okay, so we lose $5 an hour. That's a lot easier than losing $80 an hour times 5 hours. Now, we can build in to the what we request, and if that's maybe a public perception, I understand that. Where someone's saying, well, why are they taking from...
You're taking from two different county entities
and charging
to a private
for,
business.
But we're not making money on those. And if you would rather have us not take the revenue for the standbys, you charge that out, you take the money. But we would have to increase our budget because our payroll would go up. And would we have to guess? Yes. Would we turn down a rodeo because we don't have enough funds? No. But that... That's where
but you don't really have to guess. Well, first of all, like, I think the biggest thing too is I think it's unfortunate that they just found out about this 2 weeks ago when they're in the middle of budget processing, and it was kind of a hit. Like, they, like, Fair Board paid $50 last year, and all of a sudden they had to reach out to you, and now they get a contract that says, oh, now it's $75 an hour plus the $75 administrative fee, which was not part of the contract last year. The contract last year was just $50 an hour.
Right, because it was with between Buffalo EMS.
Yes.
And
we've been talking about this for more than a year. I mean, the high school's known about it for more than a year, and the fair's known about it for more than a year. And if you're looking at what we we're an emergency service. Somebody gets hurt, we go help them. We're not a babysitting service. And so, you know, if they wanted, if what you're paying for is my people to be on call, be ready to go when somebody's hurt, we have to call in extra folks. You know, we need our crew. We have to call in extra folks when we have standbys. And we got, you know, like a pap test. And we have to call in three or four extra people and line them up way in advance. That's not our regular crew. That's not the crew that we keep back for people who are really hurt. It's the, you know, we have to bring in a crew for people who potentially could get hurt. And that costs us a good deal more money. Now, you know, I mean, I don't know how much money we're talking about here at the end of the day that World Healthcare is going to receive from this. But, you know, one WBI trip, we bring in $6,800.
That has nothing to do with this.
It does have something to do with it, negating what I'm saying. We're working hard to be team players and make money for rural healthcare to provide service for this community and keep the ambulance alive. And, you know, I guess I find it a little bit odd because we've discussed this for a couple of years with the other boards, that right now all of a sudden, you know, for some reason, we're the bad guy, and I'm not happy about that.
I'm not saying that you're the bad guy. I'm simply saying is that this was given to the from the board in the past, and what I'm trying to do is understand, because the lift assist money is coming directly to the Rural Healthcare Board, because we're the one paying for the personnel and the fuel and everything else.
That's an event. I mean, that's a somebody needs help.
Yes.
That's not a go sit and wait for something to happen.
But you're still using funds and you're still using personnel for it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't get paid anything. Absolutely not. I think that's fair. I'm just questioning the all of this in terms of like the administrative fee and that kind of stuff is my concern. Because nobody really knows, like, for you, what's that going to. But this is technically your private contract, and you didn't know what it's going to, yet you're still billing for it.
And we were asked to do that.
We were told to do that.
We were told to do that.
We had to do
that. And so, you know, you're saying that's our idea?
But that was
last year's was your idea. Like, your contract
last year. But we were told to do it.
So, I do too.
So when you do your budget, like for your expenses for your EMTs, do you account for county fair, football games, all that, knowing they're going to happen?
No. Well, you know, we have our people that are on call, and the reservoir that we have of folks that, you know, we could count on if we have a plane crash and we need eight people and four ambulances. That's what we make our budget on. You know, we have really never charged for these things. I've been sitting at football games for 40 years. We've never charged for them, but we've got to pay people. But we have to pay those people extra to be at those things. It's not on salary. It's not on our payroll that says, this is what it's going to cost us for a year. We have to pay everybody extra.
But you don't account for that when you do your budget.
You have to account for that.
Well, we haven't because we've been getting the $50 for...
But you haven't been getting that at all for football games.
No.
So you've accounted for that in your budget.
Well, it's been in there and we've eaten it.
And we've told those entities, look, plan on this because next year we're going to start charging to be here. And, you know, like the Indian Rodeo and those kind of things, they, you know, we have to have... I don't know why it's not understandable that it's not our rain crew. It's people that we have to pull in and pay extra money to be there.
I don't think that it's not. It's understandable by all of them. They understand that it has to be paid. I think it was just, again, it occurred right in the middle of budget that now they have to budget for, because that's a big budget for six different football games, however many times they're at a home game. And you figure 2 to 3 hours per football game. That's a lot for them to have to budget for from a bucket that's already empty for them. And a bucket that's empty for everyone, I get that. I think one thing I'd like to see gone is the administrative fee, because nobody knows what that is. And in my opinion, like, the administrative fee is simply part of your job duties as your job, what you're doing. Like, it shouldn't be an additional fee, in my opinion, that you're charging them for this.
It was not
so
anything I recommend.
So right now, when Buffalo EMS does a standby, that is billed out. I can't even tell you how it's billed out. Is Buffalo EMS just billing that themselves right now?
Yes.
Okay. So the Rural Healthcare District, because we had this conversation too, is why should the Rural Healthcare District be involved in what Buffalo EMS wants to do for their own standby policy? And we originally had a policy for KC, and then we had our meeting here in KC, and Buffalo EMS drafted a policy. And so then there's the big discussion about, you kind of remember this, Mary?
Yeah.
The big discussion about, well, should KC be charging $50 for their standby fee and Buffalo EMS $75? I recall this, it was said that Buffalo EMS doesn't want to be charging more for a standby than KC. So the board then said, okay, well, we'll just go with $75. And I honestly can't tell you where the administrative fee came from. I thought that was the original suggestion that Dave came to the board with. If it's not, I apologize for that. But
everybody has a copy. I gave, because their copies here. Do you want to give them out one too? So I don't know where the $75 came from either, because if you follow from when we started talking about this on July 11th, minutes, and they were talking about $50 an hour. And then on August 8th, it says here, a motion was made by Jim Hicks stating standby rates will be $75 per hour for all events, and there will be an additional $75 administrative fee, seconded by Scott McBride, approved by all. So that was on August 8th. And then on September 12th, those minutes, Marilyn Conley restated that during the last meeting it was approved mm-hmm. to have $75 per hour to all events with an additional $75 administrative fee. And then on October 10th, Mark Haynes made a motion to adopt a standby policy as written with the change in verbiage for administration fee being charged per season rather than per event. But I don't know, there hadn't... When I went back to all the minutes before, I could not find where that $75 came from in the minutes until the August 8th meeting. Do you have a copy of all this?
But according to this, KC effective, you're only charging $50.
That was a policy that I threw out when this was almost like, hey, here's a policy.
There's a copy right there.
Okay.
And that's how we started out. And then it was like, it cost $75 an hour for Buffalo EMS. And so,
but none of that was
it's not in the minutes, but that's what happened.
I don't know what, and then all of a sudden it was, there was a motion and
it was. So, I mean, it was a joint deal. But
yeah.
It wasn't supposed to start going into effect until
January 1st
of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I don't think it was ever determined. I guess, as far as how it was going to be paid, Buffalo EMS would just do their own billing on it.
Well, I think, as I remember, where that came up with the extreme bill of bulls is that. That was the first time they'd done that here,
mm-hmm.
right? Forever. And then also the Indian races,
mm-hmm.
occasionally they do that. And so those aren't, I guess, budgetable things unless you just want to.
Yeah, they were new.
You know, they're just new. So I think that's where that
yeah.
happened. And there's a new one with the rodeo, the Sheridan Rodeo, high school rodeo, they host
theirs in Buffalo.
In Buffalo.
That's
and
right.
So that 2 days of Sheridan Rodeo, mm-hmm. now Buffalo EMS is responsible for doing all 3 days because Sheridan right. chose to host it.
Now, is there a Brittany, Buffalo EMS is like not very far from the fairgrounds. If those people didn't want to have an ambulance right there on site, just have somebody call the ambulance, then the main crews could go just like any other call. I don't know if that's an option or not, but that's our policy.
The problem with that is like high school rodeo, it is required under bylaws. They
okay.
have an ambulance. Most of the, like the night rodeo down here, their insurance company requires them to have an ambulance. Pro rodeo, you're required to have an ambulance. High school football, not required, crazy
right.
enough, but you don't have to go to high school football
games. Well, and I also remember that we had a big list of all the standbys. I think Gary put that together. And there was quite a list of different standbys that needed to happen, too. And then there was the discussion, do we charge everybody that wants standby, or do we charge only people that are making money? There again, I'm using the term making money,
mm-hmm.
whether they make money or break even.
At one point, I thought we were to the point that if they were taxpayer funded, we weren't going to charge
yeah.
them. Because
mm-hmm.
of that, we're just moving money from one pool to the other.
That was the concern with this.
We've raked this over the coals for years, and it's always.
Well, and I think that concern of sharing county money, you know, we have a number of examples where, you know, we. For instance, a large example is we bought property from Johnson County Fire District.
But this isn't sharing county money. This is two county entities paying for a private service, like a private ambulance service taking from taxpayers' money two different ways. That was the concern.
But it's not budgeted in the what was required of us in our contract for responding to emergency calls and transfers. You can explain that it's above and beyond that. It's standby requests. It's not
really
what they budget for in there.
As a taxpayer, what I would suggest from the school board and from your county is that they get with the other county entity and say, could you put in your county contract that they will do this many standbys as a public service because the county is already providing the ambulances and all the supplies. And then as a private entity, they can charge the other places that are making money, but you put in there that they will supply a standby ambulance to this many football games a year for the county. They will supply this many standbys for another county entity, whatever, is part of our contract, because I get as a taxpayer where it would look like it's double dipping, because the county has already paid for all of the equipment that they would be using at these standbys that now they're charging for, where they're actually only charging for personnel that they're covering. But that's something that the Rural Health Care Board needs to take into accountability of putting in your contract, if that's what we want.
Well,
them to
I
do.
Just assumed that in the Buffalo EMS contract, standbys were just part of it. I didn't realize that standbys needed to be specifically spelled out in the service agreement contract. That went over my head.
But once again, the board made these decisions, told Buffalo EMS, all we've been doing is abiding by that. We did not make the policy.
Okay, but as a director of Buffalo EMS, if this is public perception, I say take it away. I do not want that perception. The word, to quote an old familiar phrase, double dipping. Well, I don't want that perception, and we'll do it. If it ends up costing us money out of our budget, fine with me. As of right now, I'm making the decision. We're not going to send out another bill. If Rural Health Care wants to bill and put that back in your budget, go ahead and do a billing. We're not going to do it anymore. We'll take the hit.
I didn't bring this up for that. I brought this up for the simple fact that, like, this is a big thing, in my opinion, that was agreed upon by the last board that needs to be discussed by us. And when no one can tell me what an administrative fee means, yet you're charging for it, I think we just need to simply revisit this policy to take it away. Mm-hmm. I would be fine with just taking that away because nobody knows what that is.
Right. Well, then Mark Haynes making that motion, because we had a discussion about administrative fee, and that's why he clarified, because I said, okay, what does that mean? Does that mean per game? Does that mean per football season or per school district? I wasn't clear, but per season seemed to clear it up enough for fair and rodeo season.
Fair, if I'm on the fair board and I come to you and I say, what is my $75 administrative fee doing?
Let's eliminate it.
We didn't ask for it, so I wouldn't have an answer. I would say talk to the board.
Yeah, this was a board decision.
I would make a motion that we eliminate the administrative fee.
I think that's just my biggest thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it because it showed up
just in these minutes. Yeah. I mean, you can read it right here.
But what was the one that you read, Jim?
Well, before, on July 11th, they talked about a suggested fee of $40 per hour for ambulance with personnel is not enough, and a more reasonable amount will be $50 an hour. And then it was determined that a reasonable amount to charge is $50 an hour. And, I mean, you can read what I gave to you. And that was on July 11th minutes. On August 8th then, and there was no other discussion. I went back to minutes before July 11th, and I went to minutes after October 10th and did not find anything. But then on the August 8th one, a motion was made by Jim Hicks stating standby rates will be $75 an hour for all events, and there will be an additional $75 administrative fee for each event. That was on August 8th, and then on the 12th, it was talked about again, and then that was September 12th, October 10th, then Mark had made the motion about per season rather than per event. So there was nothing really clear and solid about any of it, I don't know why, but it's clear as mud now. I don't know.
So you take the $75 administrative fee out of there, you're still paying the $75 an hour, which they still have some heartburn with.
Well, I mean, I think they're all willing to pay it.
Well, and the high school football team can decide whether they need an ambulance right there or 4 minutes away. Mm-hmm. And I don't think... I feel like bull riding is extremely hazardous. Football, you can get hurt, but I have seen very few acute life-threatening football injuries, save for one that was nationally televised last year. But overall, there's an awful lot of time standing by watching the game and paying people $20 an hour, and that's a decision that the athletic director can make.
Mm-hmm. And I have a question. Do you guys do football standbys?
Yep.
And so did you give the school district a copy of that January 1st?
I got this a week ago. I've never had a copy of it. Right. I told them last fall when it was approved, they said they would probably just not have us, is what I was told. I talked to a school board member. But I've never, this is the only thing that relates to a policy and it has your name on it. They have to contact you.
That wasn't the one approved. That was the one I changed.
This is what I got from the board.
Well, but didn't you have
that
one?
Wasn't meant for Casey. It wasn't meant for Casey.
That's the one
that's the Healthcare District right on the top. Casey. This is the only one I've ever had.
See, it's like, see, you.
Oh, so yeah, and that was all thrown out. This is the one you guys
threw
approved.
That all out.
Oh, I see. Well, they didn't sign that. They didn't sign.
And I know.
This
when
is
I asked
the one
for,
I
said, I need a signed
hours.
Copy of the policy, I was sent this from a board member. I don't know, Carrie. I'm not arguing about it. Like,
right.
This is what I have.
Yeah.
This is where we're all at.
Yeah.
Still right, because
and this
the board, like,
yeah.
Five
years that's why there's so many questions.
Provide.
It's like, why?
And that's what I typed
yeah.
up after the board made that decision.
Yeah.
So we, Buffalo EMS, could
that,
give it to
and
the
I remember
people.
That was one of my questions back then. It says Johnson County Rural Healthcare District Government, contact Buffalo EMS. And I said, is Buffalo EMS doing the billing? I don't know. And it all just kind of died. And so here
that's
we are talking about
the
media.
Trying to separate private from.
So.
Well, the board
I've submitted multiple things to the board. They all got thrown out. You guys approved what Carrie said.
And see, I don't have a copy of that in my mind.
Crosby and Michelle have been putting together KC standby policies for years, and the board just sat on. And then this thing I keep going back to, $75, it was a policy. I can see sitting right there. Here's the Buffalo EMS. Here's what Buffalo EMS would like, $75 an hour. Discussion was, well, Buffalo EMS doesn't want to pay more than what KC's wanting to charge. So the board agreed, all right, we'll go with what Buffalo EMS was asking for. And that's how it got changed from KC's, their policy, as opposed to Buffalo EMS's policy. So it's the same thing that happens all the time, separating out Buffalo EMS from KC.
Okay. So here's my suggestion. I just suggest that because I or this board can't change what happened previously, I suggest that we have a second to Dr. Schuler's motion to remove the administrative fee and have Crosby, we can just simply change the wording on this so Crosby has an actual policy to go by with his contact information or KCEMS's contact information. And then we just move forward, and then we just make sure that these entities are known more in advance about this change.
So other than your football standbys, you do rodeo and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they'll still use you with that fee?
Because they're required to by their insurance, yes. And they're very pissy about it, but they also charge a gate fee to get in. They're making money. That was, like I originally said, we shouldn't charge taxpayer-funded things.
Mm-hmm.
We should charge rodeos that are charging at the gate. That
I
was always
that.
My standpoint.
I remember that discussion.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
that was always what I thought.
People who are making money and are required to have ambulance services, and they can shop around. If they want to shop around and pull in Campbell County, Natrona County, Sweetwater County, whatever county they want to, but they're going to pay for an ambulance service to be there. It doesn't matter who it is, they're going to pay. Or they can just call 911.
Go
ahead.
Sorry. I don't know if I'm allowed. I kind of see it a little different than I think everyone does. If we're just standing by, how are we spending $75 an hour? If we're just sitting there, I mean, I believe if there's a call, it should be paid for. But if our ambulance drives from here to the HJP or here to the football team, and we sit there for hours and hours, how are we?
Because we pay you for that.
And
there's fuel.
Per. Per call. It's totally different. We don't pay an hourly rate. That should probably change to everybody that we're going to. Could you please go sit there for 8 hours and take away your time from your family? And but yeah.
Sorry.
So it was discussed previously, and I agree with this, that if it is an event that is, you know, paid for with taxpayers' dollars, that those people probably wouldn't pay. And that was discussed. Mm-hmm. And if it's something that charges a gate fee, overriding, you know, rodeo schools, Indian races, if they charge the gate fee, then if it's paid for, in fact, it was talked about, it was paid for by Johnson County taxpayer dollars, then it's not paid for. But if it's a PAC test for BLM, or if it's a PAC test for Forest Service, or Timbuktu or three, then they can charge. But I agree that it shouldn't be taxpayers paying, whether it's you or it's me, but I'm the one paying the help. Whoever gets the money probably shouldn't, if it's taxpayers' dollars. But we're not gonna send any bills. Not us.
What's a PAC test?
A PAC test? Oh, the Forest Service employees have to put on 40 pounds and walk 3 miles in a certain amount of time. When we do PAC tests, then County Fire does it. There was one going on today on the track. I don't know what it was.
It's required annually for wildland firefighters to be able to get to renew their red card. They have to do a pack test, which is a 3 mile hike with a 45 pound pack in under 45 minutes. And it's required annually for anyone that wants to do wildland firefighter.
And they have to have an ambulance on site?
As far as I know, yes. There has to be an ambulance. You have to have an EMT with a defibrillator. You don't actually have to have an ambulance. But it means those agencies mostly don't have those. They can just call an ambulance service to come and stand by.
So fair and rodeo would count as a paying entity because they charge at the gate. Yeah.
And the policy as it stands allows you to bill whomever you want. You don't have to bill everyone. If you decide you're doing it gratis for high school football. But I think the administration fee is just confusing and a little bit excessive.
So that contract was sent to the school board for football games. Are we deciding not to pay?
It's up to you guys. I'm just saying what my original stance was we absolutely should charge for things that charge at the gate. Mm-hmm. This taxpayer funded, we shouldn't. In that however many months of meeting minutes you brought up, I mean, it changed so many times.
Yeah.
This is where we ended up.
5 years it's changed so many times with no decisions.
Mm-hmm. Right, so, you know, I'm going to... Yeah, Buffalo EMS will write letters to the school district and the fair board saying that we're going to do this.
Well, I think the fair board pays at the gate. They're okay. They were charged last year by you. Budgeting for that.
When we had talked to the fair board, they asked if we would give them enough time so that they could budget for it, is what they had asked us for, because they do charge a fee to get in there or whatever. They just wanted to be able to add it to their budget.
Because he attended a meeting.
Yeah. I was like, we're
done. When's
the next school? And then the board writers thing came here to talk about all that. And they were like, yeah, we don't make money on it. So we just need to know. Yeah. What are you going to charge?
I would like to see administrative fee taken away and charging for any entity that is not, that pays, that has an admission fee. And that can be at your discretion too. Like, because this money is going to Buffalo EMS, you guys can have your own discretion about whether you want to charge the fair board, whether you want to charge Indians, that's at your discretion since this money's coming to you.
Well, and I did last year offer the fair board, we would do it for free, but give us some advertising, and they chose. chose the $50. So it was their choice. We were going to do it for free last year if they chose to advertise for Buffalo Wing Months during the fair and rodeo, not all the year round, but on the PA thing.
Okay. Yeah, and so does anyone want to make a second to that?
His motion?
Mm-hmm.
I second the motion.
And then removing the taxpayer, unless it's charged at the gate, taxpayer.
Is that part of your motion?
I'll amend the motion to allow tax-funded events an exemption from the standby fee.
Unless they charge at the gate.
There we go.
Unless they charge. Well, let's say not
for profit.
For profit.
There you go. Okay.
But probably
but then
the
they
for
don't
profit thing
the
was
profit
all these little
thing.
Things that are
yep.
community events that are not for profit.
Yep.
That's why we went back to the Johnson County
taxpayer
funded was the only exemption.
Yep, right. Because I'm sure fair and rodeo is not for profit. But they,
I mean,
but they, yeah, they still,
right.
I mean, that's why it was such a difficult
policy
to make in
2 years.
Because
everybody will claim they're not for profit.
Yeah.
You put that.
20
years.
All in favor of this?
That motion then? So
yep. We're waiving the administrative fee, and we're charging for standby services for events that are not taxpayer funded.
Johnson County taxpayer.
Yes.
And again, you guys can make your
profit
own
or not profit
idea about the fair board and things like that. So.
And do not charge at the gate. Is that the other rider?
That,
or do not charge an entrance fee? I don't know.
I would just say we don't charge for Johnson County taxpayer funded events.
Good enough.
And the rest of you have to pay.
I would leave the rest of it to the discretion of the service.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a great disclaimer. Like that. I second that motion.
Yeah. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
Did you get all that, Teresa?
Crosby, do you just want to draft and...
So, what I really asked for was a copy of the policy because, like, people are calling me. I said, hey, I think this is what's going on. I will send you a copy of the policy. That was my original request. But apparently there's no written policy with a signature on it anywhere. But if this is going to be the policy, I can just take what documents I already have and change it to Johnson County Rural Health Industry and send them out if you guys are good with that. If they have a question about policy, and say, hey, call one of the board members, they can explain to you exactly what the policy says.
Well, we can't because we don't have a policy.
But we'll have minutes with a motion.
Yeah. And that's the problem is, like, when I ask policy, this board's never developed a policy and procedure, like, handbook or kind of a thing, which is, I understand is a pain, but.
Okay. Could you not?
Good.
Lift assist. Carrie drafted a lift assist letter that looks great. It's can be utilized for both KC and Buffalo EMS as the funds will, it's all Johnson County Rural Healthcare District charge. My only question with the letter's great, I'll sign it. My only question is, how are we billing?
Well, and Dave made the original letter. I just tweaked it.
Oh.
So he did the research on it. We would bill, and I think I talked to Teresa about this. My understanding is we would tell the billing company. So you would, Teresa, you would delegate her to inform the billing company of these charges and to start at whatever date you want to start. And that on our trip report system, we would say lift assist, so that would they would know that it could be a lift assist. But when we send calls to the billing company, we put ready for billing or closed.
for the first one per individual, we would track that, each service would track that, and put closed. So they would know not to bill that person for their first Lyft assist.
So the $100 is coming from QuickMed Clean?
Yes.
Okay, that was my question.
Yeah.
It's not us sending them a set bill.
No.
Okay, perfect. I don't think we need to approve anything. This was already approved, so you're welcome to.
Can QuickMed bill a facility?
Well, there again, they can, but the facilities are going to not like this.
And I just know other places, they just have a contractual agreement directly to the facility instead of going through a billing company, but I think. As long as QuickMed agrees to bill them, they're probably cool.
Yeah, well, I think they...
We don't have any down here. It's just going to be individuals.
So what about your...
They're all individual. They rent an apartment.
Right.
They're all individuals that live there.
So, I think they can bill an entity because they do that for Lifelight crews. Mm-hmm.
Okay, employee handbook.
How long have we been doing that?
Well, it just keeps getting pushed aside, so I feel like we got to get it done sometime. I think all I need from you, Crosby, is just like, could you do me a favor and highlight the areas of the employee handbook that are
okay,
and with just like a little blurb that says how it should be changed. And then we can get it done and get it signed.
Wonderful.
And get it done.
Well,
and those policies and procedures you're talking about.
None of those are in the handbook. But the only other question in that handbook that you guys had to hammer out was it says only employees can drive rural healthcare district owned vehicles.
Yeah.
I mean,
we just need to add only employees or contracted services.
Okay. If you're good with that, I can change that verbiage.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it was just definition of employees because it said full-time, part-time work.
Yes,
okay.
Nobody
fits,
is that.
So,
yes. Or
does that mean there, you can't have a firefighter or at the scene, which has happened, where they've driven, you guys have someone?
Yeah, and that was what the problem was. It said employees only. And
right.
That's why when I sent it back, I said, this is something that has to be worked out.
I would, or somebody who has gone through our, like, SIVO training, or, I mean,
well, or,
we can have some
but
drivers.
That's also, yeah, based on our insurance company.
Another first responder?
Yeah, somebody from another county emergency agency should qualify, because whether if you were a fire district, fire department, sheriff's office, those guys are all...
And you've had to have a fingerprint.
Yeah, you're all in the...
Do we have to stipulate who
Absolutely.
Drives the ambulance? In
yeah,
the
you can just wave the whole line.
Right, because I don't know that it's helpful.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things that was in the county handbook that came across, because the county handbook said only county employees can drive county vehicles.
Okay, so we could just strike it out. It's not insurance required or anything like that.
I mean, when you need somebody else to drive, it's not because it's just a fun, happy, convenient thing.
Yeah, I didn't.
I think we may need to just talk with Trevor, because my only concern is what happens if somebody else is driving and they wreck the ambulance.
Well, hopefully, hopefully they are associated with the county, whether it be
that's like
law enforcement,
normally it's law enforcement, fire department. You're not just grabbing some person off the street. Not
although
that I
that
haven't done
happen.
That when I've been in a pickle, but I mean,
okay.
I mean, I've had a random person say, "Hey, point to some bitch south and north, and let's go."
Okay. All right. Any more old business?
Can we have the minutes signed? Because
yes.
You did take that, and that didn't get done. And these need initial. And this needs the initial.
So, as we're doing that, we're going to move to new business. So, the audit report, one of the there's a couple things, and I'm going to go through this more with Cindy and have Cindy come. Let me find. They used the word that we had a woefully poor statement regarding the credit card, KC Ambulance credit card policy. A one-sentence credit card policy was passed by the board on September 14th, which is woefully inadequate. There were many purchases that did not have proper documentation on credit card purchases. Random sampling tested 11 credit card payments. All but one were found to have errors, such as missing receipts, payment of sales tax, and incorrect general ledger accounts. So we need to somehow create a better policy.
Every credit card purchase has a receipt. If they didn't have one, it's been...
Well, and Teresa had said that they had everything, so I'm not sure where
what
this...
Yeah, you forwarded did have receipts for what they asked, so I'm not sure where that came
from. And that's where I want to clarify with them on this.
Because that was, I mean, that was the last time. That's where it came from. If you don't have a receipt, you fill out the missing receipt documentation. But that was a different...
Sure. It was a different auditor.
Because your the policy that we currently have came out of that auditor, and that's what... Well, we do what we do.
Well, actually, that policy, the auditor last year said this is woefully inadequate.
I would propose that if we've given them $25,000, they can help us draft
an
adequate credit card policy.
Okay.
Which is also in the handbook.
Which they will be the judge thereof.
The other thing was... minor things that have already been the pension plan was discussed.
The wild retirement?
Yes. And I apologize. That says this is finding a for 2021. But it said me on there, so I figured that was this. That was last audits.
Yeah.
So that's probably where
it
we're maybe
corrected.
We're good now. I apologize for that. Prior year's findings.
Mm-hmm.
So then
the
she.
Sorry to interrupt, but Cloud Peak Accounting a year ago said that the credit card policy was
woefully inadequate.
But
yes.
That's why the new
the
one that's in the handbook is the county policy. And that's what we're going to follow.
But
we
that's what she's saying. She misquoted the last year's findings.
Yes, that's my fault.
Year's.
I apologize.
It wasn't this
for
year's
that.
Findings on
I apologize.
So if those guys don't like it, the new one is in the handbook.
Yes.
And that's the county, which I would think would be good.
But I'm not seeing with this one where they gave. I'll work with Teresa and two, but I don't see where they gave us. Maybe we don't have that yet. I didn't even notice that when I looked at this. I thought this was done. So we'll keep going on that.
They did mention needing financial statement preparation to be more in tune to auditing or more in tune to accounting requirements, general accounting requirements. And so I didn't know if that pertained to like the QuickBooks financial statements or the actual financial statement that's done in September that's turned into the state of Wyoming. So that needs to be clarified. And that's where I suggest that we have Cindy come and discuss their findings and help the district to change the policy or change how it's done going forward. And to adjust how the financial statements look to make it more accurate.
Yeah, I think we'll get a lot more help.
Here, a material weakness. Overall district, they said that for both Buffalo EMS and KC is that we have a lack of oversight on billing services. So it's saying we do not have policies or procedures for tracking and reconciling the billing services activities to ensure services provided have been billed and fees from all sources have been received. The result is that the district has no way of knowing if billing is complete and accurate or if the district is receiving all monies due to them for services rendered.
So the company doing our collection fees should be giving us some kind of statement.
And I think we can pull one off of their website. They have multiple reports to pull from. The year prior, Cloud Peak Accounting said something very similar, and so we took one step. The board directed me when I was still doing that to take one step, but I think it needs to go further, where I made sure that they billed each trip report that was on Waters, because if they would forget some, then I had a spreadsheet showing that they did indeed bill this amount. And I put the amount in the spreadsheet, but it stopped there. I didn't then, no one followed through with what was received from Medicare, secondary insurance, and was the patient billed for the balance. Mm-hmm. And so I agree, I think we can go.
So this might need to be like something monthly that you provide us?
Or I'll talk to
Cindy.
Company.
Yeah. Okay.
And the hard part is, when I would look at it, billing receipts, when I was figuring out what, like, we had generated, because, like, I go back, like, oh, I remember that patient. And when you start looking at receipts, they're scattered over so many months. First, primary insurance paid this, and then secondary paid this. And then, I mean, so you might be getting receipts for 6 months or 9 months. It's
sure.
I verify that every report's got all the stuff and it gets billed. The ones that are billable, mm-hmm. I don't track the other side of it very well because it is so convoluted.
Well, and how far down this road does a board member want to go?
I think this
auditor could provide an example of what some model service in Orland is doing, and we can do some kind of oversight.
I think the report that generates what was billed is easy because it's whenever they, you know, it's on Waters, it says it was billed. And when I get the next month's report, I can see all of them that were billed and what they were billed for, which is our rates plus mileage. The revenue side of it is the one that's hard to track.
Yeah.
Even verifying that we're billing is easy. Verifying what we're getting back is hard.
Yeah.
Even if it's 120 days out, if we had something that said this much was billed and this much was collected, we could monitor over time what those trends look like.
Sure. So just have that in your kind of head as we all talk to Cindy more to see what that could exactly look like. But
and if she wants to, you know, maybe Tracer, I can show her the site and say, help us build a report.
Yeah, what will this look like?
That we could supply you guys with.
Sure.
Perfect. Wouldn't those monthly reports they provide be adequate documentation? Because it's got everything that was billed out by patient, by run number. And like the revenue side is everything that was returned, who paid, whether it was, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, private, self-pay. It's all listed in that stuff.
I think it's available. They just didn't have their hands on it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all there. Yeah. It's just, and then I guess my only concern with that, if we're going to generate, print those reports and hand them off, is there is some
patient identification.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I think that would. Maybe that would be something we could show them, like, hey, here's the reports we get from our billing company. Is this what you want?
So I did show them the monthly statements that come out that show the actual deposits, and they did go back through that fiscal year and were able to reconcile most of the income. But she did suggest that going forward that I should now, within this fiscal year, go back and do more reconciliation with Quick Meds and the Waters and then rural health care deposits. And so that's something I need to start doing monthly. Exactly.
And most of the reports
that will
you can download into an Excel spreadsheet and then remove the patient information for the board. So.
Okay. That's a good suggestion. I have seen you can do that.
Yeah. Kind of makes it like a full-time job, doesn't it?
That part does.
Very. Rural Health Care District Board Expense. Teresa.
Okay, so that has been used as an account to kind of a catch-all of items that didn't have a line item to post the expense to. And so as you can see, there's most of those expenses were for vehicle repair and maintenance. And so Cindy suggested that the board either agree to letting that be an account that shows an overage amount for this fiscal year, or amend the budget and add a repair and maintenance line to more correctly account for those vehicle repair and maintenance. And then also included in that $17,443 was a firewall cost of $1,708.20. And then there was miscellaneous ambulance equipment and maintenance, and that was a Lucas power supply and a loaner fee, and that ended up being $1,579.39. And so I had posted it to that account because I felt like there wasn't a line item to correctly post that to.
So it's currently on the rural healthcare district board expense.
Correct.
Line item. Okay.
Correct. So I could do an adjusting entry and take that ambulance equipment, that loaner fee and the Lucas power supply. Would that be a capital outlay item? Or would it fall more under like replacement ambulance and equipment? But that's...
Well, that's the new ambulance
that's
fund.
That's the new ambulance, so it wouldn't fall under that line.
We've beefed up ambulance repairs and maintenance to cover most of these, and I think you're always going to have some weird other.
Yeah, so that's been, I used it as a catch-all because there really wasn't a line item to correctly post it to, so I don't know if you want to amend the budget and create those line items to clean up that account.
Well, this should mostly go away. If we put them in.
It should in the new budget, but we're talking about the existing.
Oh,
so this
that.
Says, though, if we don't want to amend the budget, we're still under the legal spending control for the district. So overall, if you are under expenditures, you are okay.
Yes,
right.
And she was fine with that,
okay.
But she just wanted it brought to your attention.
Okay.
I know that line item says equipment maintenance / agreements, but like that Lucas repair, that's the equipment. The loaner that you'd have to pay for is under that. I don't know if it's going forward.
But that's going forward.
Yeah.
And so this this has to do with the current
this
year.
So the question is, do we want to just
make
a motion
to
leave it, or do we want to do a budget adjustment?
Correct.
Budget amendment. And that budget amendment would have to be put in the paper.
It would have to be done at this meeting or the next, so it's still within the fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
And
we have to advertise, take money and advertise that.
Yeah.
Well, if we don't have to do that, why would we?
Exactly.
So just let it be overage and just know that what those expenses are.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need
a motion? Probably need a motion to do that. So can someone make a motion to...
acknowledge the over budget expenditures attributed to board expenses
under the rural health care board expenses. Yeah,
I'll second it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Okay,
so like. Your definition of capital outlay, which should cover that firewall going forward. Going forward, thinking about those things, that definition you said would, even if we had $0 budgeted in there, that would be where we'd appropriately go.
Yeah, I think so.
Because that was a last minute expense, like, oh, by the way, your firewall's out of date. You got to buy a new one.
Yeah, so I could do an adjusting entry if you would prefer to have. That $1,579 put into capital outlay for the current year, which would be that loaner fee and the Lucas power supply.
Well, I think if our minutes reflect that we reviewed those expenses and we understand where most of them came from, that's enough.
Yeah, I think so too.
Thank you.
Understanding.
call for new business. So the only new business that I forgot to say at the beginning was Buffalo EMS has sent the contract for services. I think being that it's already 20 to 8, one thing that, so this has to be done by July 1st. It may need to be to where we have a work session implemented into something, but what I would like to see happen, and if the board is approval of this, is Marie and I, a subcommittee, meet with Buffalo EMS to specifically go through the contract. We can bring any concerns or changes to the board, and then we move forward after that.
Okay. I have a question. You removed the attorney from the agenda, mm-hmm. but has the board secured an attorney?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have they done that through a motion?
It was an administrative. It didn't have to be because. Yeah.
I want to point out, though, that in the contract, the current contract that we're working under, it says on or before the first Monday in May, the district shall provide to contractor in writing an annual not to exceed contract amount. We've not received that. And then our duty is after that, before the third Monday in May, we in writing reply whether we accept that or not. Now, I know at the last meeting the amount was agreed upon, but for formalities, we do need a letter.
That says $830,400?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just a formality that if we don't have it, then we might be in breach of contract. And the same thing if we didn't reply with a letter saying we agree or disagree, because that's why that is in there.
Okay. I'll have to double check with the lawyer and stuff on that kind of stuff just to make sure that we're, I'm sure it has happened in the past, but I don't feel comfortable doing something like that without.
And Marilyn typically wrote the letter, and I have examples, well, not examples, but I have copies of all those for the last 3 years.
Okay.
I can scan those to you as well.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
I just said, hey, the board agreed to give you one.
Okay.
Pretty basic, three sentences.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So the other question that might be a new business item is the letter the auditor requires signed by someone who reviewed the financial data, and it appears to be consistent with the numbers they've used. So if you have that,
I do have that.
I can sign that, but I don't know that anybody else cares.
I care that you're signing it. Okay. Public comment. I do want to just recognize, and I should have done this at the beginning, the two of you, because I don't know you, and I would just like you to please introduce yourselves, because I don't know you, and
Mary.
I'm not sure all of us know you.
I'm Mary Props, and I work here at KC EMS.
Okay. Perfect.
I'm Rob White. I work here at KC EMS, and I am currently in AEMT.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for being here, and thank you for your service to the KC community. So it's nice to meet you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
I apologize that I did not do that at the beginning. So, but I appreciate you sticking around. Public comment. No public comment. Can we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Mm-hmm. So, go ahead.
I'll make it. I'll second it.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Sorry I couldn't make it.
Thanks, Adam.
Hope you can feel better.
Thanks. Thank you. Bye now.